Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm great. I love taking advantage of old women.
Okay, then. That's interesting.
Not what we're doing here?
I'll let your wife know about that. See how she feels.
As long as you call her wife, she'll be happy.
That's good. She listens to the podcast, right, Matt?
Yes, she does.
Okay, good. Before we get moving on, let you guys, what am I saying? Please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice, wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. New listeners pay attention to that stuff, and we really appreciate it. We will give you internet hugs, all the internet hugs you could ever want if you leave us
a That's true. I'm definitely internet hugs a lot.
I'm just going to leave that alone. This week's episode is Bart the Lover, episode 8F16, originally aired February 13th, 1992, one day before Valentine's Day. I think that's appropriate. Written by John Vitti, directed by Carlos Baeza. It's an original airing on the, during February sweeps. 12.9 Nielsen rating, approximately 11.88 million homes, ranked 29th, finished second highest on Fox that week, behind Married with Children.
Come on, seriously, Married with Children? That's a good show, but it's nowhere near The Simpsons.
It's the
streak. Especially for Valentine's Day.
The streak is ended, Matt, and you're going to have to get used to it because, you know, I'm looking ahead at seasons, that your Simpsons finishes third, fourth, fifth behind other shows on Fox. So it's something you're just going to have to fact of life. This Fox managed to get other television programs. The couch gag is an alien is on the couch and jumps into like a little trap door before the family arrives. I'm pro any alien mutant appearance in the couch gag, so I'm for it.
Definitely.
The episode begins with a Zinc educational video, which is really terrible. Purposely, they do a great job. It really makes you think about those terrible old educational videos that were like from the 50s and 60s, where they're like, this one basically just says, you know, what your life would be like without Zinc. And it includes at the end the kid, the teenage protagonist of the video trying to shoot himself with a gun, which I will mention later on in our in the news group postings, because there's a little bit of controversy about that. The whole early part of this act, and most of this act in particular, is kind of focused on Miss Krabappel. And this whole episode really is the first one we get more of Edna Krabappel and more about her life, which is kind of sad and lonely. She's
and depressing.
Yeah, she's, you know, wants the kids to stay after class just so she can talk to someone. You know, she's on her way home. It's raining. Her car has sugar in the gas tank from one of her ex-husbands. Or just she have one or two? My brain is like yelling second ex-husband, but no, it's probably just one. But you know, it's one of her struggles. She stops in at the Quickie Mart. She has a little exchange with a Pooh.
Chef Lonely Hearts, soup for one.
One scratch and win, Apu.
Mrs. Krabappel, I haven't seen you since we doubled our prices. Still teaching?
Let's see. One more day at least.
Yeah, like, you know, this sad, lonely life she leads, she what ends at home and, you know, just kind of calls was it classified? I don't know how it works. Matt, do you know what she called a line? Like it's like a class, like it's a, you know, a singles ad kind of.
I think it's like a sales line for a singles ad kind of thing.
Okay, that's what she was calling to put down the ad, and not just call.
I'm pretty sure that's what they were trying to go for.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was actually like you just get a random person and you talk to them or not, but I'm not sure.
That's the party line that Krusty called into.
That's what I was wondering if they were alluding back to that, but. The next day at school, they are visited by the Twirl King Yo-Yo Company, and they're like superstar yo-yoers, if that's what you want to call them. Let's see, there's the Cobra, who has one attached to his tongue. There's Sparkle. That's
Sparkle,
the girl. There's
Zero Gravity.
Zero Gravity, right? The guy goes straight up in the air for like a minute, and then the guy who has them on his ears. Or is that right?
That's that was Sparkle.
That was Sparkle. Who, what does the other guy have? Just a whole bunch of them somewhere? Is that the thing?
Yeah,
he just
think
had
so.
Them on all fingers or whatever. This is definitely like a reference to all those acts that came to schools that were really just like marketing gimmicks. Was it Power Pack was one of those things or something along the like Power Company or whatever, this like big giant strong guys who were just trying to sell you their trying to sell kids on their on like was that a Christian school thing? Because I remember that, but I went to Christian school.
We never really had anything like that.
Did you ever have a Twirl King thing, Matt? Did you ever have any of those guys ever show up?
Not that I recall. I mean, except for the whole Scholastic trying to sell us books thing. That's about the only one.
I love the book fair.
Oh, so did I. That's the only thing I can remember us being sold something.
Yeah. I think a Christian that the power company or whatever they were was strictly a Christian school thing, but they had like feats of strength, but it was Jesus that did that. Jesus gave them feats of strength. But these yo-yo people are very talented, but they are basically slaves to their like manager guy who just takes them around and tries to sell yo-yos to schools.
They're packed in the van like they are yo-yo.
Yeah, exactly. But the next day, everyone has a yo-yo, and Bart is like the superstar. He can do tricks already. You know that he has created, and Homer is even like amazed by Bart's ability. The school's obsessed, and Bart ends up doing tricks all the time and breaking the fish tank. Of his class fish tank with the class goldfish in it and end up killing the goldfish. He's sentenced to, what, a month of detention for that?
Yes, 1 month for the untimely death of Stinky and Wrinkles.
Stinky and Wrinkles, which are great names for fish. In this, his yo-yo is confiscated. He wants that back. And what he takes advantage of, basically, he waits for Miss Grauble to go with Miss Hoover to happy hour. In the break room, and he manages to find her classified ad in one of the drawers in her desk.
Huh? 1 + 1 = 2? Recently divorced fourth grade teacher wishes to meet man age 18 to 60. Object, save me. Write Edna K, box 402.
So
I love his little there at the end.
I wonder what I will do with that knowledge. Bart decides to write a letter in response to her ad.
Dear Edna, I never answered a personal ad before, but I found yours irresistible. My name is
Woodrow. I like holding hands and dinner by candlelight. And oh yes, I really hate yo-yos.
Oh, Woodrow.
So Miss Garoppolo is smitten by this letter. Bart had seen the name of Woodrow Wilson on the wall of this classroom. That's why Woodrow was taken. And that voice is Harry Shearer's best Ricardo Montalban.
Is also, you know, Dr. Nick. it's the different extremes.
Yeah. And with that, we go to commercial.
And we come back to Santa's little helper in the yard, freezing to death. And Homer saying, oh, that's natural. When the dog's tongue sticks to the water dish, that's just, you know, what happens. That's nature taking its course. And, of course, Marge is trying to convince him otherwise and saying, oh, we can get a nice doghouse for $50. Easily. And Homer's like, no way. I can build one for cheaper than that. Which I've got news for you, Homer. You can't. I have tried. Doghouses are expensive, and you have to have economies of scale unless you have old wood sitting around. Then you can get lucky. But other than that, you know,
well,
they're tough.
Well, Matt, lumber yards are a great source of cheap lumber.
That is true. However, I'm old and I can't stay up late enough to go during their prime shopping hours.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
So Bart continues to write back and forth with Kabopple, but unfortunately he used up all his A material in the first letter. And so he goes to ask Lisa for advice. And of course, Lisa wants to know, oh, who's it for? Is it Sherry? No. Is it Terry? No. Is it that girl with the lazy eye patch? Which seems really rude, Lisa. Or is it the exchange student? I can't make the popping sound like she does.
She does a good job with that. Yeah.
She does. And of course, Bart gets fed up and goes and he basically, rather than getting any of Lisa's advices, he, during detention the next day, talks to Mrs. Krabappel directly and says, oh, you know, what you doing? And Mrs. Krabappel, obviously not knowing what's going on, tells Bart everything about herself because that's what middle-aged women do to young men. Of course, Bart immediately uses these two facts in the next time that he writes her a letter. And, of course, I love his description of Woodrow using Mrs. Krabappel's picture, the sexy picture, of course, because in her first letter she had included a picture of herself in lingerie because – that's what you do when you're old and desperate, I guess. Now we have the internet. We have no need for lingerie.
Matt, Tinder is alive and well. There's plenty of that online. You don't need to.
That's what I'm saying. Now we don't need lingerie. Now people just post naked pictures of themselves. Okay, so.
Oh, come on. There's still some.
That's mystery. True, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Bart as Woodrow says that he propped up Mrs. Krabappel's picture while he gapped his spark plugs, which of course just lights Mrs. Krabappel's fire, because apparently a man who can do that is a man for her.
Of course.
Which that's a very tough thing to do, so if you can do that, you're doing all right. You can definitely work on cars, because gapping spark plugs is a pain in the butt. Getting it right, anyway. You're going to say something?
No.
Okay. Of course, we then cut to Homer in the backyard attempting to build said doghouse. And, of course, he's using a handsaw and breaking the lumber, and he's blaming the nails. And he's basically doing what every man does and swearing up a storm. And, of course, next door is Todd Flanders, who, of course, hears all of this. And, you know, kids are
Todd,
impressionable.
Would you like some mixed vegetables?
Hell no.
What did you say?
I said I don't want any damn vegetables.
All right, that's it, young man. No Bible stories for you tonight.
Oh. Weren't you a little hard on him?
Well, you knew I had a temper when you married me.
Yes, Ned, that's a temper.
I love it. I love it when Flanders refers to his temper and his anger.
That's true, and it never really actually came out except for Hurricane Nettie. But poor Todd is, you know, he doesn't even know he's doing anything wrong, because I don't know if you noticed, but Flanders never says, we don't say those words. He just says, no Bible stories for you, which how dare he? That's a sacred right to get Bible stories before bed. But anyway, of course, Flanders immediately calls Reverend Lovejoy, like he does about everything. And of course, Lovejoy is trying to have a nice piece of pie with ice cream on top, and he's interrupted by Flanders. But despite the fact that this is obviously years into their relationship, he just doesn't put Flanders on hold. He still takes the call, which I think this, among other occasions, shows what a great person Reverend Lovejoy is, because he puts up with Flanders forever. And even if he doesn't like it, he still answers the call. So no matter what later episodes will tell you, Reverend Lovejoy is a great reverend.
No, my favorite fact is the fact that he didn't want to eat vegetables, and that's what Lovejoy is like. Is it asparagus? That's the problem. The kids just don't like them.
Obviously, yeah. No one likes vegetables. And then, of course, Reverend Lovejoy points Flanders to a random page in the Bible, because it's really hard to refer page numbers when every version of the Bible is different. Luckily, Ned makes up a list of where Todd could be getting this information from, but we don't see that until later. Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
Bart, looking for more material, goes to talk to Marge about Homer writing love letters to her, and we get to hear Homer's only love postcard.
Maybe it's severe talking, Marge, but you got a butt that won't quit. They got these big chewy pretzels here that are, oh, you guys with a beard, you know, $5, get out of here.
That introduced me to the phrase butt that won't quit, and I continue to use it to this day. I use it at my wedding last night. So this goes to
$5.
Get out of here.
So good.
And of course, Bart says, wow, a side of Dad I've never seen before.
Yeah.
But then we go back to Flanders with Todd, saying, oh, well, he's obviously getting his brother because they're singing Bible songs while they play with, what kind of toys were those, Robbie? I can't remember.
They're not Legos and they're not Lincoln Logs. They're like the little, they're blocky guy things.
They're like Play School something or other.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember either, but yeah, you guys know what we're talking about, right? Yeah.
Yes, I would also like to point out that when I was a kid, I always thought that song was Bringing in the Sheep. However, thanks to subtitles today, I have learned that it's Bringing in the Sheaves with a V, which are apparently bundles of wheat.
You thought it was sheep, Matt.
Well, what? That makes sense, Bringing in the Sheep. I mean, I thought it's a Christian song. Sheep are people.
Where are they bringing them in?
Where are they bringing sheaves into?
The barn.
Right. Sheeps, why wouldn't you bring sheep to a barn?
Sheep don't go into barns.
They can if it's cold outside, Robbie.
They have wool. They don't need to be. They don't. They're pretty well suited to the outdoors.
Fine. Use your logic. Little 8-year-old me didn't understand that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I understand it's 8-year-old you. That makes sense.
Of course, at that point, that was the last entry on Flanders' list. I just love that one of the entries was Grandma. Because apparently Grandma Flanders has was suspected of having a dirty mouth. But, of course, he immediately hears Homer saying all the words that Todd said. And it says, oh, hey, Homer, you know, could you just try and keep it down? You know, this is Flanders being a good guy, being kind of nice, just asking, hey, could you, you know, kind of sort of stop, you know, screaming these words when you're in the backyard? And, of course, Homer, being the vindictive ass that he is, says, oh, well, you know, you got to, what about that mustache, Ned? Makes it seem like you have something to hide, which is the greatest reason for getting your neighbor to shave his mustache ever. Which Flanders agrees to do.
That's why I have a mustache, Matt, because I'm trying to hide things.
That's true. You have a mustache and a beard, so you're hiding a lot of things. It's kind of terrifying.
Watch out.
Yeah, of course, Homer says, oh, sure, yeah, I'll agree to that, and then calls him Admiral Butthead, which I don't know why I love that so much, but as a kid, I definitely used that on my sister all the time. It's a great insult when you're trying not to swear. We go back to Bart writing letters to Kerbopple, and apparently I just love the reeling in motion that Kerbopple uses, because Bart overhears Edna and Miss Hoover talking about it, and Kerbopple saying, oh, I'm gonna ask him for a picture, and if he's got all of his pieces in the right place, she's gonna reel him in, and makes a nice little reeling motion. So, of course, Bart, overhearing this, writes and says, oh, here's a picture of me, and uses a picture of Gordie Howe, which I believe was an NHL hockey player.
He was.
Okay.
Very famous. Sorry.
And as apparently a very, very handsome man. And, of course, we also see Bart watching colorization theater, watching a very old movie, and I'm slightly embarrassed to admit that I have used this line in a few love letters of my own, but a million poets could try for a million years and still describe what 3/8 of your beauty. But just so you know, guys and girls out there, make sure that fraction goes up each time you retell it. So, you know, obviously, in case they're paying attention, they'll notice. And of course, Bart uses that in the same letter that he sends to Kerbopple with the picture. We then do a quick cut to Marge and Homer, where Marge suggests that Homer use a swear jar. And apparently it worked for her father, since her father was in the Navy. And that's what you do in the Navy. You swear and you swab decks. So Homer agrees and says, oh, sure. And then we go back to Bart. He goes to where he had asked Mrs. Kerbopple to meet him for dinner. And of course, she's waiting and she's happy and she's in her dress that she tried on like 12 of beforehand, before she settled on one. And Bart goes to see a movie. And when he comes back, he sees Mrs. Kerbopple there waiting for Woodrow. And she is just basically sobbing as the last person left in the restaurant. And surprise, surprise, Bart actually feels a little bad. And then we cut to a commercial.
Well, it's pretty awful. I mean,
he did a terrible thing, but it takes a lot to make Bart feel empathy.
I guess that's true. I mean, he did completely lead this woman on like a wild goose chase and toy with her heart. So he should feel bad. Yes. Yeah. When we come back, the last act is actually pretty short. The first and second acts are the large percentage of this episode. The third act is by far the shortest. We neither of us pulled very many clips for this one, because a lot of it isn't really stuff, like, it's not like poppy audio stuff. There's a lot of visual stuff, and there's a lot of kind of conversation about, you know, between Miss Kerbopple and Bart and Miss Hoover and all this other stuff. I did pull a montage of Homer cursing.
Homer, that was a 20.
Yeah! Good! Oh, you son of a...
Hey, Homer. You know, I owe you one, buddy. No sooner had I shaved off the old cookie duster than a lady cast me in a commercial. I'll tell you, the way these checks keep coming in, it's almost criminal.
You dirty best! What do you think, Lisa?
How's the dog supposed to get in?
Well, he just goes... Oh!
The last one is a beehive falling on Homer while he's asleep in a hammock.
Oh, poor Homer.
And Homer finally is out back still trying to build a doghouse. And it and Lisa and Marge finally find pity on him and buy him one.
Oh, fudge. That's broken. Fiddle-dee-dee. That will require a tetanus shot. I'm not going to swear, but I am going to kick this doghouse down!
Dad, this is not a commentary on your skills, but we bought you a new doghouse.
Where'd you get the money?
Well, there was more than enough in the swear jar. And if you look inside the doghouse, there's a little surprise.
Maggie. Oh, cute.
No, behind her.
Beer! How did you know?
I'm sorry, but beer, how did you know?
Yeah, it's the channeling of rage from the pain into just... And $50 of swears for a quarter apiece. Homer's wearing up a storm, but it did get him a new doghouse.
That's true.
Eventually, at this point, Bart comes clean to the family about what he's done. And they kind of work together to try and figure out what's the best solution to this. And, you know, the first thought is to just come clean and tell Miss Krabappel. Then no, she'll be embarrassed, ashamed that, you know, one of her students is able to lead her on like this. So they think they put their heads together and write a goodbye letter, so to speak, together. Homer's, what is it? I am gay. That was his general.
Three little words.
I am gay. But they all kind of work together. Homer actually puts the icing on the cake, so to speak, with the final phrasing. But I've pulled the complete final letter that they actually end up slipping underneath Miss Krabappel's door.
How shall we end it?
How about with a love that will echo through the ages?
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, Homer, you old honey dripper.
Why, you little hee-hee.
Dearest Edna, I must leave you. Why? I cannot say. Where? You cannot know. How I will get there? I haven't decided yet. But one thing I can tell you. Any time I hear the wind blow, it will whisper the name Edna. Oh.
And with this letter, Edna's kind of, I don't know, I guess she's let off easier. I guess, you know, being
that's true,
to,
but it's...
It's still it's awful.
The weakest, you know... Sorry, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just so weak. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, bye. And she never follows up. She's never like, oh, sorry. I mean, I guess this was before the internet when you really couldn't follow up that much, but...
No, what was she going
to
do?
Like she would be like, oh, yeah.
I think it allows her to have some kind of grandiose vision of what... why he couldn't end up, you know, being with her. Which, in this situation, I think is the best that could happen. I think they are really correct in not letting Bart tell her that it was him. That I think that'd be really bad.
Not to mention he would definitely fail that class.
Yeah, Bart... the episode ends with Bart and Miss Krabappel kind of, you know, going outside, spending the tension outside, and just, I guess, in quote-unquote, enjoying each other's company. It shows her not, I guess, as lonely, even though, you know, they come back to that later on in the series. But overall, it's a good episode, Matt. So I know you were very excited to talk about it.
I know. I just, the whole letter writing thing got me as a kid, and I thought it was really funny, all the things he wrote. I can't say that I didn't use a few of those phrases as a high schooler. But none of them worked. So just so you know, don't bother.
But no, it's a good episode. It does really balance the kind of emotional stuff with the really funny stuff. Like the A plot with Bart and Miss Krabappel is kind of touching, but it's also funny. The letters are funny in and of themselves, and the fact that he uses Gordie Howe's picture and all that stuff. And then the B plot with Homer's cursing is also hilarious.
It's so short. It's just a few minutes, but it pays off really well.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's a funny story that Dan Castellaneta actually said the full curse words when he recorded it, and they just cut it out so that it would get, you know, the full force of it. You'd feel it in his delivery. Unfortunately, one of the days he was recording those lines, there was a field trip to the recording studio with like 8-year-old children. Yeah, it's just some 8-year-old children were allowed to visit the studio, and they were just there listening to Homer curse for a while. So I think that's just hilarious. But yeah, it's a great episode. It's really funny. See how we rank it at the end of the show. I'm interested to see where we put it, because I'm not altogether sure, but we can talk it out, Matt. I don't like it when you make that noise. It means you're thinking about something. You know how dangerous that is.
It is very dangerous.
Let's see. Remind you guys to keep sending in your submissions for my favorite episode. Simply send them in at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And we will read it when we get to that episode. Next up, comments from the news group. We got some good stuff. I mentioned it. I believe it was Stargraving Dad was the episode with the reruns. When we did that episode, I mentioned it briefly, but it reran the week before this episode, in between this and Homer Alone. And this is when they had done that rewrite where they make fun of Bush Sr. because he had kind of come out in that speech and attacked them about them being not like the Waltons, etc., etc. And it was in the news at the time, and all the Simpsons fans thought it was hilarious that they were able to, you know, come back so quickly against the elder Bush president. The other thing I mentioned, the fact in that Zink, the fake Zink video that they start the episode off with, that the end of it has a kid taking suicide with a gun that doesn't work because it needs Zink. There was an article in the, San Francisco Chronicle, February 15th, taken from Los Angeles Daily News. But basically, a Miss Pamela Cantor, from the executive director of the National Committee on Youth Suicide Prevention, says the majority of kids will not be disturbed by it, but a child who's vulnerable and disturbed may imitate the behavior. It could be a bad influence on fragile children. And Matt Groening responded, you know, glibly, that it's a joke. It's making fun of those videos. It's not, please don't take it seriously. I agree. I don't think watching The Simpsons is going to make a child kill themselves. Let's see. Not much else, but there's that. You guys can find all this stuff. It's alt.tv.simpsons, old news group, been around for almost the whole show. It's on Google Groups now. You Google it, you can find it, and you can search the archives. People still post it up to this day. Matt, you know what time it is?
Is it time for me to be scared or time for me to be devious?
Devious. It is time for the new Google trivia challenge. And Matt has some awful laughter there. That's great. New Google trivia challenge is a show where I will each bring three trivia questions to try and stump the other. One easy, one medium, one hard. We'll see how we do. I am looking for like a little short musical interlude for the segment. So if you guys have any ideas, please send them to me. I couldn't think of any off the top of my head, but I know there's some probably obvious ones that I can't think of. Matt, are you ready? I'm going to start us off. Our theme this week, from Neil at After Thief, has given us this theme focusing on flashback episodes. Matt, your easy question, what is Lisa's first word? Matt?
Wow.
You blanket on this? I blanket on an easy question?
Yes. My brain is just like, no. Bart. Duh. Oh, my God. Sorry, Bart.
I was worried there for a second, but I wasn't sure if you're gonna get
sorry,
it.
My brain was like, Daddy? No, wait, that's Maggie. Oh, crap.
You got it. It's Bart. Bart.
Anyway.
David Hasselhoff.
Can you say Daddy? Homer. No, sweetie. Daddy. Homer. Anyway, sorry. On to Robbie's easy question. What award did the B-Sharps win in Homer's Barbershop Quartet?
A Grammy. Unfortunately, just a Grammy.
Oh, it's an award statue. Oh, it's just a Grammy.
Okay, Matt, ready for medium?
The plate of brownies was better.
Yeah, medium question. Ready?
Ready.
This is also from Homer's Barbershop Quartet. What is the name of the B-Sharps' second album?
Bigger Than Jesus.
You are correct. I thought I'd make it catchy on that one.
No. I remember all my fake Beatles trivia.
I guess that's fair.
All right. In Lisa's saxophone, or Lisa's sax, what does Homer want to buy instead of Lisa's saxophone? It's $200. It's next door to the music shop.
Oh, air conditioner.
That's right.
Yes.
He's fated to sweat like a pig for the rest of his life. Not to mention eating like a pig and smelling like a pig.
Okay, Matt. You ready for a hard one?
As ready as I can be.
This is again, this is naming many things. I like these questions.
Oh, God, of course.
Name every member of the Flying Hellfish.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? All right.
Matt, you are... I have to step up my game. This degree of difficulty. I'm grading on a curve here. I got to make it hard. These are hard. They're hard.
Okay, let's see. So there was Grandpa and Burns, of course.
Correct.
There was Sheldon Skinner. There was Iggy Wiggum. Mm-hmm. Arnie Gumbel.
Uh-huh.
Griff, Asa, Ox, and Etch. And...
That's it.
That's all that's coming to mind. That's all of them?
Woo! That's all of them. Oh, it's so hard. I'm not going to get it. Oh, and then...
It's funny because I thought I'd have problems with the ones that are family members, but apparently not.
No, apparently not. Oh, no, apparently I'm a super genius.
No, I just, for some reason, the cadence that Grandpa uses, the Griff, Ace, Ox, and whatever, it sticks really well in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Like all of these.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. What's my hard question, Matt? Come on. Stump me like you always do.
All right. This is actually not that hard. I just loved it so much. I had to give it to you. In Lisa's first word, what does Homer borrow from Flanders and never give back?
In Lisa's first word?
Mm-hmm. They first move in. Flanders comes over to say hi and says, if you need anything, let me know. And Homer says, I could use that.
Is it a TV tray or a TV stand?
That would
or...
be correct. TV yeah. tray, yes.
Okay.
It's 8 years and counting.
I got a hard question right, Matt.
I'm very impressed.
No, it's not that hard. That wasn't that. You gave me hints too. I do have some more questions from our listeners.
Hit me.
Did I ask you? I don't think I've asked you this. You stop me if I've asked you this. In Secrets, this is from Chris. In Secrets of a Successful Marriage, what is the name of the night class that Hans Moleman teaches?
I believe it would be How to Eat an Orange.
That is correct.
Just eat the damn orange, all right.
And here we have another Jasper question. It's also from Chris. When Jasper froze himself at the Quickie Mart, what did Apu put on him and name him? What was the first time he noticed when he thawed out, stating what a time to be alive?
I believe he put a horned hat and a spear and named him Frostilicus. And then on his way out, he goes, moon pies.
You are a wonder, Matt. I don't know how you get this right.
I love that. Like, I laugh so hard, especially at the end when they moved to the nudie mart. Oh, that's a great episode. Oh, okay, my God. I can't wait for it.
So I'll give you one more. This is from Rob, aka Rattrap 007. He keeps us stocked up. In Cape Fear, the Witness Relocation Program can place the Simpsons in one of four places. Name all four.
Oh, God. There was Terror Lake, Screamville, New Horror Field.
The last one's the most obvious one.
Oh, okay, so that was one of the four. Okay, Cape Fear.
Yes, that's it. There you go.
All right, just making sure.
How the hell you remember all this stuff, Matt?
Because it's just so funny, and I've watched it like at least a dozen times each.
Well, yeah, I've seen Cape Fear a billion times. I don't remember every town they've... Gosh. See, this is why I'm asking the questions to Matt, guys, because I would get all these wrong.
But it'd be funnier that way.
I don't think so. No, it's the thing is, it's building up tension, because when you actually miss one, it actually means something.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, keep sending them in. Keep sending them in. I've got a couple themes. I'm queuing up all these trivia questions you guys send me. Keep sending them in if you have any. If it's an obscure question, please include an answer, because as I mentioned, I am the dumb. I don't know all of them. You can send them on Facebook, facebook.com/SimpsonsShow, The Simpsons Show Pod, Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places. Great to hear from you guys, as always. Now, Matt, it is the time to be scared.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It is time, indeed, for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a good one, Matt. I don't know necessarily where to put it. It's tougher and tougher every week, it seems.
It is. I mean, it's one of those ones that it sticks in my mind as being particularly funny, especially because of those first time around gags and all the funny stuff that Bart puts in the letters, and you know, the emotional turn at the end of Act Two. It's really good, but it doesn't stand out in the way, say, Lisa's Substitute or, you know, Bart the Murderer do. So no. I think it has to land decently far down on the list, probably close to our last episode, Homer Alone, I would think.
Really?
Okay. It's definitely better than that. But I'm thinking, I don't know, probably somewhere around 16, 17.
Okay. It's Radio Bart. I think this is better than Radio Bart.
Really? Radio Bart?
I think this is better than Radio Bart. It's definitely better. It's definitely better than Burns Verkaufen der Kraftwerk. Okay. It's definitely better than that. I think it's better than Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment.
I would put it about the same as Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment. I feel like it has something similar to that. And that's a very, you know, family interactive story towards the end, and it's got a decent moral. It's got some good jokes, but Radio Bart.
I just think this has more heart than Radio Bart.
That is definitely true. I guess I remember all the funny songs and things and all the label maker jokes that, from Radio Bart, and remember it fondly. But you're right, this has a lot more heart than Radio Bart for sure. So
I don't think I'd put it above Flaming Moe's, though. Flaming Moe's is really
definitely good. Definitely not.
So can you cotton to just above Radio Bart, Matt? Can I talk you into that?
I think mainly for the phrases from Bart's letters that I still use on my wife. Yes, I can.
And I know you're a sucker for the supporting character episodes. This is our glimpse at Edna.
That's true.
So there you go. We get our first glimpse into Edna Krabappel, and then, you know, they revisit her later on. But I say so. New number 14. We have Bart the Lover, which I'm not. It's hard to predict where these end up. I never get close to where I think they're going to go. I'm always totally unsure. But that will put, let's see, Bart the Lover at 14, Lisa's Substitute still number 1, Homer's Odyssey still in last place at 51. This list is getting quite hefty, Matt. We are getting up there.
Yep.
You can find this list at our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find all our new episodes there, downloadable streaming, this list broken down per season and overall. You can contact us through there. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. You can donate to the show if you'd like. We obviously appreciate that. Let's see. What's our next episode, Matt? It's a good one.
Is it finally time?
It's time.
It's time. All right. Next episode, Homer at the Bat.
Homer at the Bat.
Greatest baseball episode of The Simpsons ever.
Yeah, it's probably the best sports episode of The Simpsons as well. I'm really looking forward to that. We have a guest lined up for it. I'm looking forward I'm not sure how to put this. I don't want to give away too much. I'll just say we have a special guest for our next episode, and I'm looking forward to talking about it, talking to him about Homer at the Bat. So let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterStreel. That's MixmasterStreel. You can check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, as of last night, there is a Tumblr out there that has pictures of all of us, me, Robbie, and our significant others, but you have to find it. So good luck finding that. I will say there is a particular variety of sandwich involved. Good luck.
They're not going to find it, dude.
No, they're not, but they'll look.
There's no chance. I don't know. Maybe one of our...
I believe in you guys.
Some of them are pretty dedicated. I think they could maybe figure it out with context clues. I don't know. Well, I'll see. If you guys do figure it out, I'd be very, very...
nervous?
No. I do look... They won't know who's who, really. There's not really pictures of us floating around, so... That's pictures true. Of your forearms. I guess they could figure you out because you'd have the Simpsons the pig cufflinks on. But other than that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think with that we can call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.